שלום, אנחנו נקרא קטעי נבחרים מהמקורות.
We're reading chosen excerpts about Hanukkah, starting with excerpt number 6. You can ask questions live. You can ask questions during the lesson on Cap TV. Excerpt number 6. Rabash, these candles are sacred. We say in the song, Maos Tzur Yeshuati, mighty rock of my salvation, Greeks have gathered over me, then in the days of the Hashmonaim, and broke the walls of my towers. Greeks are those people who go within reason, who cannot do anything if it is against reason. At that time, there was the governance of the Greeks, meaning this dominion governed over the people of Israel. This authority is called the wicked kingship of Greece, whose role was to make them forget your Torah and move them from the laws of your will. That is, the governance is to go specifically within reason. This is what causes the breaching of the wall that guards the tower. A tower means that within man there is a certain measure of greatness of the Creator. This wall is called faith above reason. And specifically by faith above reason, one can come to feel the greatness of the Creator, as well as depict to himself the greatness of the Creator. When a person feels the greatness of the Creator, he is like a candle before a torch, annulled before him. But the Greeks, meaning dominion of within reason, which did not let them go above reason, is regarded as breaking the walls of my towers. In other words, the faith above reason, which is a wall within this wall, we can build towers, meaning obtain the greatness of the Creator, which is called a tower. That is, specifically through faith above reason, we are rewarded with the reason of Kedusha. Again, excerpt number 6, Rabash, these candles are sacred. We say in the song, Mighty Rock of My Salvation, Maos Tzur Yeshuati, Greeks have gathered over me then in the days of the Hashmonaim and broke the walls of my towers. Greeks are those people who go within reason, who cannot do anything if it is against reason. At that time, there was the governance of the Greeks, meaning this dominion governed over the people of Israel. This authority is called the wicked kingship of Greece, whose role was to make them forget your Torah and move them from the laws of your will. That is, the governance is to go specifically within reason. This is what causes the breaching of the wall that guards the tower. A tower means that within man there is a certain measure of greatness of the Creator. This wall is called faith above reason. And specifically by faith above reason, one can come to feel the greatness of the Creator, as well as depict to himself the greatness of the Creator. When a person feels the greatness of the Creator, he is like a candle before a torch, annulled before him. But the Greeks, meaning dominion of within reason, which did not let them go above reason, is regarded as breaking the walls of my towers. In other words, the faith above reason, which is a wall. Within this wall, we can build towers, meaning obtain the greatness of the Creator, which is called a tower. That is, specifically through faith above reason, we are rewarded with the reason of Kedusha.
How can we describe the war of the Maccabim within the person. That's first of all. Then, how can we describe the war of the Maccabim within the people, within the nation? And then, how can we describe the war of the Maccabim between nations? Please. Let's begin with the first one. How can we describe the war of the Maccabim, which occurs within the person? Please.
Maybe it's this place where you feel the desire of the friends, their desire for connection. There's the Maccabi in me, that place that can connect to the friends.
It's a spiritual war which we start with the question, what is the point of life within the person, bringing him to the place of connection, where you have the books and the guides and the light, which guide the person in coming out of himself and beginning to see what exists outside of himself.
And this war leads him to see what is really leading him, within reason or above reason. Does he listen to what the world says or what the Kabbalists say?
Yes, that exactly is the war, where we try to be inside the ten and what's happening here, what the Kabbalists tell us, is that we need to be under the influence of the environment, of the ten.
Yeah, the war is for the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of bestowal, the greatness of connection that exists in the center of the ten, and the entire war is just to be annulled in the center as a candle before the torch, in this feeling that the ego is in control and that this is my entire life. But to use this spark to run into the influence of the environment, and there suddenly you have this great big light that becomes revealed.
Yes, and this war is an actual war. We can see a very good example of this in recent times with the last dissemination effort that we made. Many of us were uncomfortable with it for various reasons, and then each of us was in a state of inner war. What do I follow? The group and what it says, or what's comfortable to me? And that's the war with the Maccabees inside me, who follow the group, or the Greeks who follow whatever is comfortable for me.
Yeah, because man's thoughts are always aimed to his own benefit, and even when he tries to do something to the benefit of the group, he has to see where does it come from. Even when I do something from the group, am I using my own reason or external one?
Let's say that this whole story of Hanukkah is a very a picturesque sort of parable about one's work. There is a great treasure in reality called the glory, the greatness of the Creator, and in order to guard it, to put a wall around it, you need to make it precious. It's really the most precious thing for a person. And in the war, you have the Greeks who want to understand and know and do everything according to reason. And then there's this shield, this wall, which is faith above reason. And it gives one the feeling of the greatness of the Creator.
The war of the Maccabees in a person, it's where the ego says, ah, very well, you're full of good deeds and mitzvot, and you did everything that you should, that you could. Now you have a safe place in heaven. And the Maccabee tells you, you have to listen to the greatness of the Creator. This is what has to revive you, not what you did.
Every time I hear these texts saying, go above reason, or someone tells me, annul yourself or something, it's like someone's trying to manipulate me, to control me. If I wanted to control someone, I'd say, annul yourself. That's the Greeks saying it. And on the other hand, there's this thing called above reason, and there's no choice. You have to go without reason.
Rav, and how does the war that goes on inside the nation, between the different parts of the nation, who are the Maccabees, who are the Greeks, what's the war about? What's the wall? The Beit HaMikdash, temple, its destruction, its resurrection. Please.
It sounds as if the Maccabee is always in motion. Always in motion. Through him, the light passes. And the moment we are truly in a connection between us, then the light passes through us. The Creator is in that place. And then it's bigger desire. It's we have a role to play ultimately. And then it just expands and expands. The system begins to be revealed.
We're still not fighting an external enemy. The war is inside the nation, between the part that wants to go Yashar Kel and the Hellenists. It's actually against those parts of the nation that want to drag us to externality.
I don't think there's a great difference. I mean, the general and the particular are equal. The war within the person is similar to the war within the nation. But again, it's about what will lead the nation, as the friends said. Perhaps it's this quality called Yashar Kel, the internality, the desire to attain the Creator and bestow His quality, or externality, which is called the nations of the world, which do everything in order to receive something from it.
We're building a nation that has to defeat the people of Israel, so to speak. We're those that are introducing the faith above reason into the nation. This is where Kabbalists say that the real life begins, and so does the truth.
Okay, I admit that this question threw me off a little bit. I didn't understand if we're talking about the nation of Israel, 2018, current year, or the group, or I didn't get it. You can speak on all levels, but then what exactly is the war if we're talking about the well, I'll be glad to continue listening to you.
Here I'd go with what Nessie said before, that I can keep the Torah and mitzvot and be content with it, can be happy about it, but without the correct intention or goal for which the people of Israel exist for, it's all a klipa. And then you don't exactly see when, but you turn into a Greek instead of a Maccabee.
Yes, it's amazing how you can take the desires in a person and lay them out to as a group of people, and then in that same from that perspective, it depends on the perspective, it can be a person or a group or a whole nation, and then you have the division into factions, people who prefer to work within reason, people who aim towards and work towards drawing the rest of the people to working above reason.
Okay, the war is for the greatness of the Creator. This is what it's about. And there are those parts that go within reason. They're called Greeks. There's no greatness of the Creator there. Surely it's not something that you grasp within reason. And there are the Maccabees that go above reason, that want to keep this precious thing.
So what is Maccabim within the people? Truth is, this concept doesn't exist. But only if you create some fear in regards to all of the good deeds that you have to carry out, the rules that the Kabbalists laid out, the spiritual people who give you the power to persevere against the nations of the world which are also within you. So you create reality. It's all in you. The light is at in complete rest. So it's our role. Each one has to become like Moshe in respect to the whole people.
Okay, now I definitely don't understand anything. Probably it's what you said before.
Love. Well, and what is the external form of the war of the Maccabees, which we need to wage? What is the war which has to happen between above reason and within reason? What is the war that happens between above reason and within reason? Please.
I don't know. Within reason is that we're all sitting here. We came here a long time ago. We have this feeling of confidence. Maybe we don't even need to pray, because in the will to receive, this force is felt somehow. And above reason is the tower, is the wall that we have to build together, which is to constantly pray together for the quality of bestowal, understanding that everything depends on the Creator, and to hold on to that place where the Creator is the one sustaining all of these states of ours all the time.
I don't have a thread of thought, line of thought that can connect these things, but one thing I can hold on to is that it doesn't matter where we are and what we're doing. But is what we're doing bringing about our equivalence to the quality of the Creator, which will be revealed within the Ten, or in the people of Israel, or all over the world?
That everything starts and ends inside the Ten. That the entire war is to raise the importance of going above reason despite everything that happens, and all the thoughts and a person's desires are to bring back, to be within reason, within the confidence of the will to receive. And the work that we do here influences everything that happens in general, in the world, everywhere. Excerpt number 6. Once again, Rabash, these candles are sacred. We say in the song Ma'uz Tzur Yeshuati, Greeks have gathered over me, then in the days of the Chashmonaim, and broke the walls of my towers.
Wait, this is enough. Who are the inner Greeks within the group, within the nation, between nations? What does it mean that they jumped? What does it mean that they breached the wall? There was a temple, the holy city, a wall, and they breached it. They breached the wall. What does it mean in an internal form, within the person, or within the Ten, or within the nation, and between nations? Please. On every level.
Internally wise, it's as if I were in as if faith above reason, suddenly corporeal matters become much more important, and everything that was before seems delusional and a mistake altogether.
Yes.
Rule, who rules and who gains, suddenly it moves from being the rule of the creator and the gain all going towards the general collective vessel. Suddenly it switched over to I want to rule and for all of the gains, all of the profits to come to me.
Since that moment that the war is over control, then your loss is certain. And Joseph Flavius writes about it beautifully, that the Romans, they surrounded the walls of Jerusalem wanting to conquer it, and then Aspasianus, the leader of their army, was wondering, should we go in? He said, no, wait for them to kill each other, their gods with us, and then we'll go in. And that's what happened.
Yes, a person who is within a tent, he seeks to constantly add to the progression of the ten. And then it depends on what thoughts you have, in what way you can do it, what can you add.
Everything's inside the person himself. Both of these desires, the Greeks, the Maccabees, and the war. The war is about the reason. Within reason, there is nothing related to the goal. Again, of course, we're talking about a person who wants to attain spirituality, wants to attain something that's higher than this world, and when he goes above reason, then he attains the greatness of the Creator. And only there do you have this feeling of the greatness of the Creator, of above reason. And these desires that want to separate him from it and make him feel above reason, these are the Greeks. And the Maccabees, it's... this is actually the war, above reason or within reason.
So the inner Greeks within the person, within the nation, and so on, the inner Greeks are what gives one comfort and calmness when he gets angry and feels pressured, and he knows that he has the light he can turn to, but it's not beyond reason. Any action which is not above reason is defined as Greeks, which are now against him, against the people, against what he receives from the friends. But he doesn't take it above reason. He must always work on the higher half of the degree, which is always annulment and fear.
Rav, when there are plenty of egoists, the groups within the nation fighting each other, and sure, none of them can accept the opinion of the other, because why shouldn't they accept my opinion? So what kind of an ability do they have to connect? Please. What ability do they have to connect between the groups, where each group thinks that it's right, and it's willing to connect to the rest of the groups, with the rest of the groups, but only according to what we think's right, according to our principle. And this is how everyone is. So what can you do? How do you connect them? Please.
Yes, it's truly an intolerable thought, especially within the group, it's felt the harshest. Within our group, I thought at first we're talking about the nation in general, but if we're talking about our group, it's the worst, because we're the hardest, we're the most intolerable. I don't know how the friends connect, but I know that when it happens, and it happens often, it's a terrible sensation. Really, you feel that you don't... I guess then you don't have any other recourse but to pray.
Rav, I'm just asking for a clear solution.
The only glue we have that can help us is the reforming light. Only the lack for the light is what can connect us.
Everyone wants for everyone else to connect according to his principle. And we have to go above any personal principles to one simple one, which is our connection. That only through our connection is there, can we talk about the upper force. If it's below that, it's a klipa.
It's very clear that there can be no solution on the corporeal level, and we see it always, how each group wants everything for itself and cares only for itself, and in the name of various ideologies, they're willing to slaughter each other. So here, you need the upper force, and connection can only be towards the upper force, and only in respect to that it is that everyone can annul themselves. And we need to reach the place which Baal Sulam writes about, which is where one despairs of his own strength. So I guess the society as a whole needs to despair of its own strength until it realizes that there's no choice.
We have to unite into a spiritual partsuf. We have to disseminate. Then we'll have the power to speak, and there will be power in our words, and they'll feel through this inner example of ours that both that it's possible and also that it's good to connect above the multiplicity of opinions.
Yes, there's no connection without the upper light. The upper light can come only when there's preparation and demand on behalf of the lower one. And this can be either through torments and punishments and helplessness, or by us showing a little bit of that light, building a vessel for the light to come through us. And also through education, excite the desire for this, rouse the desire for this in the nation.
Only in order to draw the light and connect above our ego and our wars. We have the books, we have the Kabbalists, our teachers. They're the ones that guide us. And if we follow their advice, then both we draw light and also rise above the ego, creating a connection which is stronger than our separation, due to which our separation began to begin with.
Love. So how can all the groups or political parties or factions take upon themselves the view that everyone needs to rise above themselves to a higher degree, which is called faith above reason? And how can they get the strength for this, the knowledge of it? How can they fight against themselves in order to rise above it? Receive the knowledge that this is the only thing that's necessary, and that this is the only solution, and that this is actually the war of the Maccabees. To raise the people, or more correctly, to explain to the people that the ascension of each individual, the rise of each individual above his own opinion, that is the war. And that only in that manner can we come to the miracle. So, what do we need to do for this to happen? Try to organize and order these things, as which I delivered in a rather confused form. Please.
It's necessary for that group of Maccabees to arrange the form, the circle in which all the groups will sit in, out of which it will be possible to build a platform of how to reach a state of consent from disagreement.
Yes, we have to explain to everyone that regardless of your view or faction, everyone has one common enemy, and that enemy is called the ego or reason. And to explain that either way, we'll fight it. But the question is, will it be together we truly rise as one man to fight against the Greeks, as we call it, or will it be through lack of choice, either Rishena in its hastening it or Beito in its time?
We have to understand the equation of success. It's not who's smarter, who's not, but who was able to go above reason. The question is, were you able to rise above yourself? And then the Creator is in the picture. If every group does that, the Creator will arrange everything else.
To me, it seems that it's only about adding to the connection. I don't know. There's some difficulty to connect here, so we go between this group and another group. So we connect with a different group, and we add someone else. And you can't contend with this difficulty directly. It's either just prayer, the upper light, and all that, or to connect with other groups.
The war is eventually for the friends. You're fighting. For example, now we're a 10, we have to fight for another 10. Meaning, we're always in character.
How can we describe the 10, portray the 10, as the can of oil? As the can of oil, which you light up and it is lit, and then it becomes... And afterwards, there's the miracle that it's lit for 8 days. From where does it get the power to do that? Please.
The tin can of oil is that you can light the opnimi in it. And something else I understood is that only the great Kohen can do it. That it seems like kind of work that we do in the ten that is pure of any mixture of our ego, of our individual ego, that interferes with its reason there, saying pretty words, and we just want to reach a place where we see the friends' virtues and not their shortcomings.
The can of oil, it's the work of bestowal above reason. There's no justification for it, or anything to gain. It's not something that the ego can make a profit off of, or something. Just to completely to follow the Kabbalists and to know that this is the path, this is what you need to do. And what? How is it lit for 8 days? Again, we cannot see the work of the ten within reason at all. There is some action going on which is above reason, above nature.
The ten is the place where we burn our egos. It's a place where the eighth day is already, it's where the center of the ten comes alive on the eighth day, and then our entire role is just to keep that fire going.
Yes. We only make an effort to maintain annulment, reciprocal annulment between us and the light in the ten. It illuminates, I don't know, 8 days, infinitely. It always illuminates, always. And that miracle is there, it exists, but it's a degree above us. And our mutual annulment, which we make an effort to do to the extent that we're able, on our degree, it just makes us jump like a quantum leap. And then everything looks differently. It looks different. With that power, we can then turn outwards and be guides for our people, our nation, which are parts of us, then they'll be able to see that from the light of unity, that that's the only thing we need to aspire towards, and that is the true nation of Israel. And we can do this. We are the only ones in the world who can truly do it, because to some extent we aspire towards that higher degree.
Where does the pure can of oil come from that's really kosher, suitable for lighting the light of the Creator? How do you find it? How does it remain? Please.
A can of oil has two states. Either it's a can of oil, or it's a can, like a garbage can. And the can state always exists. It becomes a can of oil when there is a connection above the can. And then there's pure, beautiful fire above it. There you have connection and light. And because under it there's a can, a trash can, then it never ends. It can be lit for 8 days or years or infinitely.
I think that yesterday evening we had a beautiful example of the Hanukkah miracle in the tent. There was a strong desire to advance it, and I'm sure that each of us was right about how to do it. The things that we were missing, and we still have a few days to do it, is our connection. For us to agree eventually that our desire is for everyone to agree, and that everyone wants to advance the 10 out of that point.
Well, the worst thing is indifference. There's nothing worse on our path than not caring or indifference, complete indifference. There's nothing worse. And that's the oil that we need to guard between us, and that's how you find it. When a person constantly pushes himself towards connection, wanting to achieve connection, seeing the greatness of the friends over their faults, always engaging with that until it doesn't allow me to sleep.
Rob, why the can and the oil and the wick, which is the group that unites, connects, it lights only for 8 days? It's spiritual. It's actually supposed to be unlimited in time.
Shemen, the oil, is lit only for 8 days, because you always have to remain with the lack. It could have been 10 days, 10 sfirot, but no. One must always seek a lack, must always seek upliftment, importance, greatness. And so he has to feel that responsibility is on him, from the head to the bottom, from Malchut, Keter to Malchut. And he is in the middle, 8 days, where it's lit, but he wants to look for a lack beyond that, to always add. Where can he find it?
Just in terms of what I feel, that when we connect, then we don't really have the true power of the light. What we have is what we create between us. The maximum we can reach is bestowal, but really, to bring that light of Chokhmah and everything, no, we don't have that.
Love, why must there be a pause between what is done before Hanukkah and what is done after Hanukkah? Why must there be a pause? Supposedly there is a difference, a trend, a different kind of work with the vessel.
Yesterday, when I was preparing myself for sleep, I was saying again another lesson about Hanukkah, and I feel that these scrutinies, they always have to as if come out of the need to attain these things. So the same thing I can tell you now, that on my part there's like all the time chanaya, parking, scrutiny of how do we really attain these things in practice, because it sounds like we're talking about something external or something. But I really have to feel that it's in our connection, in our annulment. I don't know, maybe the parking scrutiny of
love. What kind of war do we have before Hanukkah, and what kind of war is there after Hanukkah, such that in the middle there has to be a pause?
Before Hanukkah, it's fighting for the intention of not receiving for myself. And that in our connection we want to live to the benefit of the friends for their sake, not to rule them out, but to see their virtues and make an effort toward the connection later.
Yes, before Hanukkah, the work is to come to the degree of bestowing in order to bestow, and after Hanukkah, it's work with different vessels to receive in order to bestow. To begin with, all of the work is in concealment, out of concealment, and after Hanukkah, when there is some revelation, a new kind of work begins, where you need to achieve the same fear, the same annulment. When there is revelation, that is much harder work.
Yeah. The entire war of Hanukkah was about that we stop the intention of in order to receive for the vessels of reception, and we completed the work in 8 days, 8 tefillot. Now, on this break, we have to begin a completely new war. We have to awaken what we've stopped and to use those vessels already in order to bestow, but in the vessels of reception, and this is a completely different state.
There has to be a pause, there has to be a stop, because it's the vector is inversed. Although it's like a baby has to come out of the womb, so it grew and grew and grew only through annulment and receive everything from above in perfection, and then it comes out and becomes independent. It begins to discover its own limbs and so on. But he's just building his connection, his equivalence with the mother, his resemblance to the upper one.
It's exactly what the friend said. Up until now, we worked in not using the rejection, rising above the desire, and now we actually have to awaken it all, because the purpose of creation is for us to use the will to receive, but if you're not doing it with the intention in order to bestow, you can't really use the will to receive and realize the goal of creation. So the work is how to correctly awaken things so that the intention, that you'll work with the vessels of reception with correct intention.
It's exactly like with Waze, where you know you have to, well, you have to turn left, but you continue straight. And then Waze says, oh, we have to look for a new course, so because the conditions have changed. So it's the same way every moment.
It really is special. All the stories of the people of Israel, they're really special. For example, before Hanukkah, the war is about creating this wall, not to do anything, to reach the degree of chafetz chesed, not wanting to receive anything unless it's in order to bestow, and then the flip is that you start bringing the Greeks in and everything, but only to the measure to which you can go above reason. That's the difference between bestowing in order to bestow and receiving in order to bestow.
Truth is, the war before Hanukkah, and the war after Hanukkah, it's the same war. It's the same clothing, it's the same thing that you fight against. And here exactly is the misdirection. Person has to find, to identify the difference, because...
Rob, questions, we read excerpt number 6. All in all, so questions, if you have any, here or from the world clean, in the groups, go ahead. Let's begin with you at the end there. Quickly.
It appears that the trend is opposite, that the war is in order to stop a decline, not to advance. There is a decline of the generations, and the previous generations were seemingly in a higher state, and now there is a war in order to stop that decline.
True. It also says so in the story of Hanukkah, that at first there was the tower and everything was fine, and now the external forces have broken in. It's a kind of deterioration.
So what is the war about? About stopping the decline, or to break through, to advance, or is it both?
It's impossible to advance until a new evil becomes revealed, and this is what becomes revealed. And therefore, there's this war against this evil, and the war is to conquer the evil, to turn it into good. Hanukkah, it's all in all about correcting the vessels of reception in order for them to be in order to bestow. Not receiving in order to bestow, but bestowing in order to bestow. Hanukkah is only about attaining the degree of Bina. Moshe.
In the question you asked, how do we connect together between the people, to the parts of the people? I felt the question. We're always talking about the internality of the person, and then it's easier to understand. But as we go out towards the people, the nation, then it's difficult to understand the matters of above reason and so on. How do we even connect to them?
In practice, it's probably supposed to happen by us attaining the faith above reason, where the 10 becomes that that lit tin of oil, and then we attain everything else. But first of all, we have to attain it inside the 10. But in order to attain inside the 10, that state called the pure oil with the signature of the great Kohen, We need pressure from the outside, that even before you achieve the power of connection called faith above reason within the 10, we have to go outwards and publicize the need for it to everyone. And then the pressure from the outside and the need from within and from above will all in all bring about the ability to connect above the ego of all the members of the 10 and to reach the state of the pure can of oil.
What do you mean by external pressure?
Need that you have to know, just like Pharaoh had to know that the people of Israel, they have to leave Egypt, and that it's necessary to allow them to go where Pharaoh symbolizes the entire ego. How did he know? Because Moses came to him, to Pharaoh, and advertised, publicized these things, telling him, look, you gotta let us leave. We have no choice. We have to connect, and so on. And therefore, there was a certain kind of consent here, as Bala Sulam writes, that there's no choice, there has to be this understanding within the nations of the world, or first of all within the people of Israel, that we have to connect such that the force of connection will be greater, or will be in control of all of the forces of separation, that specifically due to the separation can we increase the power of unity, and we have to keep it and make it grow. How? By burning the forces of separation between us, by raising the force of unity above them. The only good is the good that comes out of evil.
Exactly about this point. That is the difficulty, that is the constant resistance. They, on one hand, cannot accept the...
Doesn't matter. Pharaoh didn't want to listen either. Look at the resistance. There was on his part, as much as we can imagine it in our situation. No, I won't let them, this, that. Imagine that this is the kind of struggle taking place inside your body, that you're saying, no, I have to, I don't know what to do, how will I connect? And the Pharaoh in you is saying, you will not connect, I'm not going to allow you to do it. Sit down and stay there. You can jump, but it won't help you. And day after day, you against him, he against you.
So on the level of the people, the nation,
we have to go out and disseminate, we have to do everything, and sure, we'll get an unpleasant response in return, like from Pharaoh, but we have to do it. Regarding the nation, we're like Moses. Inside us too, there's Moses and there's Pharaoh. And this is how it always is, internality and externality.
And how do we connect? If they ask me, each one has his own right. You have your own right. And
impossible to connect. You see, we have 20 parties. How can they connect? Only above all of them. Each says, to connect? No problem. Great. They should come to my party and we'll all connect. We'll all unite. Because everyone's willing to have just one party. Which? Mine, of course. So, no one's right. The only truth is above all of them. Meaning what? That the force of connection has to be more important than any kind of separation. Than every opinion. Than all principles. Of each and every one per se. Meaning everyone has to step on their principles, no matter how necessary he feels that they are, that he can't let go and so on. He has to step on them, rise above them, and then, there, they can connect. After everyone does that. This is actually the method. How will it work? Is it possible? No. Why? Because in order to work, it has to be kind of lit, ignited. You have to light it. How? We have to do it. We have to give an example. And then from above, bit by bit, gradually, meaning it'll permeate in the different degrees up until the entire nation will be able to be united. Any other questions? Let's allow Kiev to ask. Hanukkah, something. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Da.
Honorable Rav, I guess you answered this question, but in any case, within the ten, it's clear you can rise above the Greeks, you have the creator, the power that leads, but with the groups, with the factions, within the people, it seems that only with a higher degree, higher goal, the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah, am I understanding correctly? How is it done?
No, we're still not talking about the nation. Just a bit here, there, publicize the wisdom of Kabbalah in a very kind of, how to put it, convenient, a way that's convenient for everyone, so that there'll be no trouble on part of the government, the nation. But for us, the main thing right now is the connection inside the ten. Because the external pressure, one way or another, it exists. Why do we also have to publicize outside of the ten? In order to get from them pressure. For them to push us. And then we'll be forced to unite. But one way or another, the pressure exists because the world's deteriorating. Well, economy, education, and anything and everything. And therefore, there are different disputes they have and so on. And therefore, it's sufficient for us. The only thing that we have to take care of is our connection inside the group. The week called the week of Hanukkah, during this week, we really have to chew and taste and swallow all of these principles so that we won't have any doubt that it'll be clear to us what are we supposed to do. The wisdom of Kabbalah and the history of Israel, this is the only thing they talk about. It's a group that in the past has once realized the matter of connection. So we have to learn how to do it, because what the fathers do, it's a sign for the sons of what they have to do. Meaning from now on, we have to start doing it and until the end of correction. Wait a second, we also have... Where's Moscow? Why don't we see them on our screens? Broadcast.
Rav, у нас два вопроса. Первый.
Now we have two questions. The first is, I need to see that my 10 is that vessel enclosed. There's this priest, the can of oil, or should we build it together? Do I need to see them as such, or do we need to build it together?
The can of oil is us. That we have to rise above our own reason. Reason is called shemen, oil. Oil is chokhmah. That we have to rise above our own reason and connect against our will, because we resist reason. And then we can reach the wick that can be lit, that against reason, that oil will... In faith above reason will become light. This is how it works. Anyone else?
I don't understand the difference between the other groups and our group. We have conditions. And if you want to connect to us, you come here and you connect.
What's the question then?
What's the difference?
No difference between all the groups. Every group has conditions of its own.
So we also have conditions of our own.
Yeah, I have certain conditions here.
So why are we different and special and not like all the rest of the groups and political parties?
Wait a second, are you asking about the parties or are you asking about what? About the different neighborhood groups?
Not parties, groups. Each one is willing to connect if you come and be like them and meet their rules.
Then probably they have not yet reached the conditions to connect like here. And I don't think, if you're asking me, that there are better conditions to connect here. I don't think so. There are 300 egoists in front of me right now, maybe more, I don't know, count. Another 50 went to arrange the storage. They're working on moving the storage, so you'll know. And I don't think that there's any kind of mutual help here or mutual excitement that's helping in any way. Accordingly, there is the burdening of the heart. So, in each and every group, a person doesn't have to say, why am I not living in the days of Rabbi Shimon? Why not this? Why not that? This is forbidden to say, because by doing so, you interfere with what the Creator is giving you. In each and every given moment, He is giving you the best possible conditions to correct your soul. And if you're here, then don't worry. In favor or against, you'll get all the necessary conditions. What kind of conditions do I have to build in the group in order to achieve the right kind of connection? You have to do what everyone has to do, no more and no less. Connection until everyone will be above their ego and to connect there into this one wick that can be lit, that can ignite. And the ego is the oil that will light up because you rise above it and you connect despite it. And this way you have a place for burning.
I don't understand in what the connection here is different than other places.
Okay, so you don't. You don't have to understand. Everyone has to do the work wherever they are. This is how the Creator arranges things. Moscow.
Вопрос такой. Вот мне кажется, у нас, когда мы говорим подняться, надо.
It seems to me that when we're talking about rising above all differences, the question is where to rise. Where? I think we have a problem with this where to. Everyone of us has a different place we want to rise to. We all understand that place we have to rise to differently.
We have to rise to a place where I come out of myself. That's it. Otherwise, if I'll start thinking beyond that, it'll become an egoistic goal. I have to transcend to a state where my self remains beneath, and what rises above it is that point that's willing to connect and unite and integrate with all the rest. The points in the heart, they have to come out of the ego, come out of each and everyone's heart. Beneath remain the hearts, and above, from these hearts, ascend 10 points. They all unite, and from them can there be formed the light of the candle already, meaning using those points in the heart that rose above it, and those points acquire the quality of Bina, to bestow in order to bestow. This is the goal. How will I explain this to myself now? What does it mean to bestow in order to bestow? Where am I ascending to? The main thing is to come out of myself. Toward what? Toward connecting with others. Who are the others? The others also, by coming out of themselves, by coming out of our ego, rising above it. All of our egos remain down below. We rise above it. Beneath, you have 10 egos. Above, you have 10 points that came out of it, that are all united, they're all connected, and they turn into the wick that's between those points and the ego that's beneath, and the ego down beneath is the oil. And this is how it's lit. The light, the fire, comes from above. Once there's a connection, then it's lit.
Ken. No.
From your explanation, the oil, the shemen, is the ego, right? So the more that we strive and work and put efforts out towards the connection that's needed as the causes the ego to grow, hence this is the miracle.
The miracle is first that they found the oil can, and so after the quests and the search, after a tough war, when they want to connect, they want to light the fire, the light of Bina, the light of bestowal, where everything is above, when they find the willingness and the ability to unite and build themselves into the can of oil and light it. Light it meaning that their connection is such that they have light from above. That's it. Yes.
Okay. Maybe I'm just not understanding well. What causes the oil to burn for 8 days? Our connection, right?
Ken.
So then what is the result of us trying to connect on a above faith above reason? Is the growth of the ego, the spiritual ego, that we need to rise above. The real will to receive. Not the hidden crap that we deal with every day.
I don't know what's nonsense, what's hidden, what's ego, what's corporeal. I know that we need to prefer the connection between us on top of any other state. That's it.
So what are we lacking? What do we need to do? So that we can make the next one.
The importance of connection, of unity, must be greater than any other state. Any other state. Whatever it is. When I don't compare it to any other state, besides connection. This is called connection above reason, above the ego. And so then, when we connect that power of connection, in spite of the ego that exists, gives us that gap between Bina and Malchut. And then, it can be lit. That's the use of the oil, the ego. Even though it's Hanukkah, we're not supposed to use the ego. We do, but how? By way of, we shall only see the candles. We haven't spoke about that, but yeah. Last time.
What can I do to help my Asiriya do just what you said?
Give them an example. An example of connection, how important it is, as opposed to any other state that you're not even taking the other states into account and you're only thinking about connection above all the disturbances.
What is this camping rest that we spoke of here?
The parking, the pause, is because we have two kinds of war. The first one is over the vessels of bestowal, and the second one after Hanukkah is over the vessels of reception. And that's why these are two types, two forms of war that are completely different. And in between, there has to be, there's a necessary stop. Because you're changing your direction. Before you're going to acquire the degree of Bina, you're just not using continuously, not using the will to receive. And the more you prevent yourself from using it, the the more you reach the degree of Bina. And when you finish that, then you have the can of oil that is lit for 8 days, meaning that whole path you went through, you now see that you have kindled your candles, you've acquired the quality of Bina, you've turned on the light. Now, after that degree of achieving the degree of Bina, standing at the degree of Bina, now you have to begin joining the will to receive to it. So you have receiving in order to bestow, which means from Bina downwards, gradually, a little bit of will to receive in order to bestow, a bit more will to receive in order to bestow, a bit more of the will to receive in order to bestow, until you reach a state where all of the will to receive that you find as you descend from Bina to Malchut, towards Malchut, you acquire it by receiving in order to bestow. And that's already the work of Purim. And it too ends like Hanukkah in the action. That we still need to learn what's common, what's the connection between these two things.
Why changing the inclination of the work is called chaman chanaya, camping, resting? It's the continuation of the work, even more.
But no, you're completely changing the approach. You change the approach completely. You had an intention not to receive anything, and now you have an intention to receive through limitation, but to receive. It's a completely different attitude. You're looking for something different. Hanukkah is not any building. They didn't construct anything. They only searched for the lights among the ruins. The ruins are the shattered will to receive. And how can the sparks be found among the debris? And so then afterwards they already use the will to receive to build more and more, to build the temple. Which means that everyone begins to connect together with their ego. How can you do it without the matter of creation?
I can't understand why is it called camping. It's a climax of work. There's a higher level of work here.
But it's opposite. You can't just quickly, swiftly shift from this to that. Because you work on not receiving, not receiving, not receiving, and come to the climax of that, of Bina, where all of Malchut is included in Bina, and you're not using it, you're using it in the opposite way. You don't receive throughout all of the areas and aspects of Malchut. And then, how can you immediately move to something else? No, you can't. Well, we're going to learn that. But there has to be that stop.
And what is the miracle here?
The miracle, all in all, is that by our efforts, we receive light from above. It doesn't matter if it's in searching for the can of oil, or lighting it, or concluding the war, or concluding the parking, the stop. Whatever you receive from above is called a miracle.
No.
Yeah. Shortly.
Sometimes we say that Kabbalah doesn't require anything of one's heart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sometimes you say that you're an egoist. Before you have an attainment, you're egoistic and you're not demanded to do anything from your heart. All you need to do is external actions.
Yeah.
But now it seems to me No, sometimes it seems to me that Kabbalists do require something of the heart before you have an ability to do anything with your heart.
We always work with the heart, and the heart means our ego, the will to receive. And we always work with it. That's it. We don't demand from the person. We can demand from him to be in order to bestow, but he always works with the heart.
Okay, so my question is, what does an egoistic here in the group, what can he do with his heart in the direction of connection?
He needs to do what everyone else is doing. Everyone's an egoist and everyone is working with the hope that their heart will come under the control. Sit down, it's enough. Think about what you've heard. You're not even hearing what I'm saying and just wanting to ask more questions. I don't want to hear you like that.
What you explained, Eli, about the stop, camping, rest. So according to the system and the law of nature, we see that it has to happen. But
yes,
all of a sudden it seems that the camping, that the parking itself is very important. It's a correction and even work.
Of course, because it is transitioning from one direction to another direction. There's many changes. And it's like you're repeating the whole process in order to now prepare it for a whole new stage. It's like you're going through an inspection of your material and everything, and you're collecting that, and then you're going to with it to a new direction. Yes, Tzvika.
We keep talking about the Chanukiah, the miracle. What I'm lacking is the spark. How do I ignite the Chanukiah to start with? We didn't speak about it yet.
Not yet. Wait, we will.
And what is the eighth day? We didn't talk about it.
Bina. That's the eighth day. The touching on the pure quality of bestowal, which is complete bestowal. We don't even know that the Creator bestows. Meaning, where does the created being meets with the Creator? In that inner point of Bina. We can't attain and feel what bestowal is, if not on top of matter.
You're saying, I don't know who said it, it's not mentioned in the Torah, in the Bible, Chanukah. Why is it not mentioned? What's the reason for it?
Yes, what's the reason? Because this is really, it's like they asked here, why the parking, why does it need to happen? Because there's work, then the work is bestowing in order to bestow, that's one war, and then receiving in order to bestow, that's another war. So there's always work, always this war, this work with the will to receive. So what's so special other than that there is no use in the will to receive created by the Creator, with the way where there can already be results. So that's why there's a question. What is Chanukah? It's basically acquiring the vessels in order to then work with the matter of creation, with the will to receive. And before you conclude Chanukah, it's like you have nothing in your hands yet. So what is Chanukah? You still can't see anything from it. You understand? I had a friend. He was working with iron. He always had a plier in his pocket, and that was the tool to work with. So this is the tool. So you still don't have anything on the one hand. On the other hand, you already have the knowledge, the means, the power, and then you can begin to work, begin to build. So on the one hand, you don't have anything. On the other hand, you have all the preparation required. That's it. Now, accordingly, try to understand what Chanukah is. Because what is Chanukah? With regards to the purpose of creation, there is really nothing yet. Yes.
If we go for an active connection, working on connection, then the Greeks are awakening?
How otherwise? Otherwise, it's the opposite. They give you all kinds of problems and troubles afterwards. If you're not in favor of them, why not? Be our friend and everything will be fine.
And after the parking, we're active?
After the parking, you receive the power to work with them in order to bend them. Before that, you only escaped them. Just jump into Bina. More and more jump into Bina just to cling to Bina. That's why it's called Katnut, infancy. Because you'd like an infant, you cling to Bina all the time. That's where you always look for your salvation, your hiding place. You look to be unidentified there by the vessel of reception. But afterwards, you begin to take it out. One serpent and another one and a bigger one and so forth. You take it out of your heart.
Also, by connecting, what's the difference between the connection here and there?
The type of connection in the war before Chanukah is a different kind of connection with regards to the one after Chanukah. It's not a connection of just running away from our ego and connecting in the points in the hearts, which is why it's just a small wick and a small connection. The kind of connection after Chanukah is that we add to the connection between us a lot of matter, that material that burns. Malchut begins to connect to Bina.
We add it, or we really need to have a force?
We want it, because it's receiving in order to bestow.
You said Katnut, so in Gadlut, we're going for Gadlut. We don't need an external Kli to evoke, to enable that usage?
It's all within us. I don't know what you mean by external.
If in the 10 we had a connection, let's say like in Chanukah, and then we want to connect to use the vessels of reception as well.
The difference is in how we use our vessels. That's the difference. Yes, Levitch.
I want to ask for a friend who's watching us. He always asks questions on holidays, and I promise him I will ask. He wanted to ask about the difference between the parking in Chanukah and Lag BaOmer. If you can explain the difference or similarity between these two holidays, 25 here and 33 there.
Oh, smart ones. Yeah, you can ask that too, sure. The parking that we have in Lag BaOmer is also a parking between the preparation of the vessels. And if we reach Lag 33, then it means that we've exited Egypt and reached a specific Sfira, which is the Malchut of Zeranpin. From that until Malchut, we only have a few days left, a few Sfirot. And it's certain that we'll succeed in them because we've already acquired the force of bestowal, and then we only have left to work with them in receiving in order to bestow. But in Chanukah, it is similar, but Just like there, after Lag BaOmer, we also continue correcting the vessels. But the correction is sure to happen. We just need to correct those sfirot between the lag and the end, the 50. Here, however, we have to continue fighting. No one promises you here that we will manage to reach the state of Purim. There's great differences. But it's interesting to compare this and that. So, we still need to come to that. You see that in our direction yesterday and today, we want to discuss both the individual and the whole, and the collective, in a way that you'll see that we're always working with the ten, with the soul, the structure of the soul. Now we have New York.
So, presumably the Greeks come to the Maccabees to pressure them to unite. And earlier you said that it's our job in the Ten to rise above these Greeks internally. So the question is, if we're able to rise above the Greeks internally, does that eliminate the need for the external Greeks to come and to apply pressure on us? And if so, how can we relate to these internal Greeks in the same way as we would to external Greeks coming to apply pressure on us?
We need to accept all of nature, all of creation, as 1 10, which includes in it everything there is, as we learn from the four phases of direct light. It says, I, the Lord, I, Havaya, do not change. Havaya is the ten. And so, whether it's a more internal form or external form, that depends on the level of our work. But the kind of work is the same work. That's why I asked, how do we work within the ten, between the tens, with the external public, among all the nations of the world, and so forth, because the kind of work, it's only this gradual process of how, when do we begin to work with everything in order to advance. But the external pressure is always necessary, otherwise it's impossible to advance. As it is written, I put a king as Haman over you, and then you will repent. And that's how it is all the time. All right, that was New York. Now, Kiev we already had, right? Now we have Turkey. Okay. Turkish.
Günaydın. Kişi bir bütünlüğe gelebilmek için sürekli bir savaş içerisinde. Bu gerçek bütünlük nedir ve kişi bunu nasıl yapacak?
In order to acquire wholeness, a person is in a constant war. So how can he obtain wholeness out of all these wars? How can you do that?
Through being in war with himself. He doesn't need to fight with anyone except for himself in order to raise his desires, which can be similar to the Creator, and taking down his desires that still can't be similar to the Creator. And so he makes this order within himself, where he organizes everything. And this is called Gmar Tikkun, the final correction. Meaning that all our work is essentially the work of sorting out what fits the correction and what doesn't, and in what order. Everything is inside the person. And when the person sorts out
himself, he does that by being able or unable to connect to himself external pieces, external parts. All right, French.
Shomim?
Can you hear?
Shomim olo, tanule.
Can you hear me or not? Answer.
Lo shomim.
You don't hear?
Mitargimim shomim?
What, the translators are listening? Hearing? What? All right, I'm sorry, there's a certain error here, or we need a clearer two-sided connection. Or I saw Africa, yeah? Where is Africa? I told the broadcast, show me all the groups with question marks. How many times do I need to say that?
Tov. No.
All right. Africa. Yes, Africa.
Rav, it was a friend in Africa asked, what is the meaning of the eighth day?
We'll talk about it tomorrow. We barely even read just one excerpt, and you're asking. I'm happy that you're asking all those things, but the eighth day is a complete connection with the degree of Bina.
All
right, let's move to part 16 from